celebration. Tell your neighbor and say, it's a celebration.
How many know we're celebrating the new year, man? We're thankful for what God's doing. How many know you're going to walk in God's best this year? How many are declaring that? I'm going to walk in God's best this year. Now, if you can't believe it here, you're not going to happen when you leave here. I mean, this is the first starting point by faith. Say, God, I'm going to have the best year. How many know last year wasn't a great year? This year has got to be better. So we're declaring, God, this year we're going to walk in your best. And we've been talking about principles that allow us to walk in the best that God has for us. Today we're concluding the series, but we've been talking over the last few weeks about learning to come over into 2012, leaving our baggage behind in 2011, saying, God, I'm going to learn to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to walk in a positive attitude. I'm going to walk in positive speech. I'm going to begin to get away from people who are negative all the time and who are always bringing me down. I want to surround myself with people who are going to pick me up, who are going to speak to me and say, I want to be a better father, a better mother. I want to be someone who has a heart after God. I want to be someone who has positive words to say. I want to be around people who are motivated, who are driven, who say, I want to reach the goals that God's put in my life. And so we're learning to surround ourselves with people who do not bring us down but are bringing us up. And we're saying, God, we want more so of you in our life than anything else. We've been fasting and praying. We take the principle of the first fruits, which simply says this, that we give our best first to God. And we're taking that principle and applied it to our lives over the last 21 days. Today's the 21st day, the 21st day of a 21-day fast that we've been doing. We've been fasting. I've asked people to pray about what they wanted to give up. And we have people fasting things from meat and sugar to TV, Facebook, all kinds of things. People have been fasting over the last 21 days. At the same time, praying, asking God to renew, refresh, resharpen us, get us refocused. You know, Jesus was asked one time why some of the prayers were not being answered. The disciples said, hey, we're not seeing some of our prayers answered. And he just very clear to them. He said, listen, sometimes some things are only answered through prayer and fasting, not just prayer alone. So we believe fasting allows us to recenter ourselves and say, God, I'm putting you back as the priority in my life. I'm giving up things that maybe would allow me to get back focused on you. Anybody struggle with your fast? I did. Anybody else struggle? Okay, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't be human if you didn't struggle with your fast. Let me say this. If you didn't struggle with your fast, then you probably didn't fast the right thing, okay? Because when you fast something that's dear to you, you struggle with that. It's not always easy to give up things that are close to you. And I just really appreciate so many of you joining in and saying, God, I want more of you in my life. Now, today we're going to conclude this series, and we're going to talk about the thought, a shout of grace. A shout of grace. Let's go right to our text. I'm not going to talk a long time, but I want to get right into it. Zechariah 4, 6 through 10. Let me kind of give you the backdrop here, what's going on. The people of God, Jerusalem, the children of Israel, had been taken captive by the Babylonians. They had come in, recaptured them, and tore down their city. The Babylonians had destroyed their whole Jerusalem and brought them back to the place of the Babylonian captivity. They were working as slaves there, and they were being freed again. And so God had called Zeru to come out and to lead the tribe of Judah. Let me kind of talk to you about what's going on here. Let's pick it up in verse 6 of chapter 4. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You say that 10 times and get the interpretation. You'll know what's going on here, okay? Zerubbabel. How about we call him Zeru for short? Is that all right with you if I call him Zeru the rest of the service? Let's think of Zorro and Zeru. He's just his cousin right there. Okay, Zeru. We're going to call him Zeru. Zeru said, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zeru, you will become the plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of what? Shouts of grace. Grace to it. Verse 8 says, also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zeru have made the foundations of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, for who has despised a day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line of the hand of Zeru, and these are the eyes of the Lord which range throughout the earth, throughout it. Okay, now what's going on here is we see where Zeru was a guy who was called the Prince of Judah. He was basically the governor of Judah, and even in captive, when the Babylonians had taken the children of Israel captive, he had rose to the top of his tribe, and he became the governor of his tribe, and he was even even under military command, he was still looked to as, even as a prisoner of war, he was stationed over his people as a person of respect, as leading his people. He probably had a place in their government as the representative between the Babylonians and the tribe of Judah. And so we see where God had set him free, and they were set free, and he was supposed to lead Judah back to Jerusalem to rebuild Jerusalem. They were going to go back and rebuild the temple. His instructions were, you're going to go back and rebuild the temple that had been destroyed, and you're also going to go back and rebuild your homes and houses. And so as Zero takes these guys out to Judah and he takes them back to Jerusalem, they begin to rebuild the temple and they rebuild their homes, and things begin to get bad, and 16 years later, nothing's getting built, okay? 16 years, and he's still looking at a pile of rubble that had been knocked down. It was a mountain of rubble that had been knocked down. The temple had been destroyed. In the meantime, they had worked really hard on building their homes. They had these really nice homes they were building. They were bigger and badder than before, and they were really putting all their effort into building their own homes. And they had neglected rebuilding the temple, which was their first command. And this is important because we see in the New Testament, of course, we know our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they're just not putting their church on the corner, but the temple was the part of God's plan of atonement, redemption for mankind. This is where the altars were. This is where the sacrifice took place for the atonement of the sins. This was a big deal. This is where we find the holies of holies, all these things taking place. So this was a huge deal. The temple had not been rebuilt. And he had given Zeru the command to lead this charge of rebuilding the temple. And so it's not happening. Let me give you some facts about Zeru. First of all, I want you to know that he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He was a good guy. He wanted to do, he genuinely wanted to accomplish the task that God had given him. God had given him this task about rebuilding the temple, and he really wanted to do that. He had it lined up. He knew that he wanted to do that. It wasn't like, you know, we've seen God go to different people on the shepherd on the hill, or the Gideon hiding in the cave. You know, these wouldn't people saying, no, God, I can't do it. No. You know, we see them in those stories that, who am I, God? Don't you... No, this is Zeru. He had it together. He had already worked himself up to governor of Judah, the prince of Judah. He was already leading. And so when God asked him to do this task, he was more than qualified to lead people, 50,000 people, back to Jerusalem to start this rebuilding project. And so, but he was a man who was willing to do what God had called him to do. The second thing we must realize is that his priorities were very solid. He had right priorities. He didn't have his priorities out of whack. He really knew his job at hand. He really knew that God had called him to rebuild the temple. And this was a very much important thing to God and important to his command to follow out the thing that God had called him to do. When you lead 50,000 people back from captivity, you've got to have right priorities. They were trying to rebuild the temple. They had been at a standstill for 16 years. And God says to him, God came to him in a dream. We just read part of it there. And the angel said to him, as he appeared to him, this is what happened. He says, it's not by might nor by power, but only by the Spirit of the Lord is this thing going to be accomplished. And in our life, we've got to realize, he says, you shall bring forth the capstone, the final stone. The capstone is what we see is the final stone that's put on. They call it the capstone, the top stone. It's the last stone that's put into place, signifying the end of a project. Many times you'll see a capstone will have a plaque on it. This building is dedicated in memory of this person or person who's gave it. It's always that last corner block that they do that. And so we see that he talks about the capstone shall happen. What's God saying? He's saying it's going to happen. The rebuilding is going to happen. But he said, this is what's going to happen, Zeru. It's not going to happen by might, and it's not going to happen by power. It's only going to happen by my Spirit. And see, many times in our life, we don't comprehend this because we are people who want to do things in our own ability. And very naturally, we got a task to handle. Let's get it done. I'll use all of my might, all of my power, and I'm just going to will this thing to get done. Especially those that are really driven people. We're just going to make it. I don't care what it takes. We're going to make it happen. And we want to just grab the bull, you know, by the tail, and it's going to get done. We're going to force this thing. We're going to will this thing to happen. No matter how hard I got to work, no matter how many people I got to talk to, we're going to make this thing happen. And this is the kind of person Zeru was. He was a person who was leading 50,000 people. He didn't get there by accident. He was a born leader, very driven person. But God was telling him, hey, Zeru, it's not going to happen by anything you possess in ability and in power. He says, the only way this is going to happen is when you allow the Holy Spirit, by his Spirit, to work and to make this thing happen. But he said, it is going to happen, but it's only going to happen when the Spirit does it, not when you can do it on your own ability. Many of us in our life, we got to realize this. He said, you go up to the mountain, and you shout with shouts of grace to the mountain. Now, today, this is really where I wanted to get to, is just talking about grace. Because for many of us, we have a one-level understanding of grace in our life. And if you've heard me teach about grace, I've done a whole series on grace a few years ago. I look forward to doing that again in the future. It's just an awesome series, I believe, that God has given me on grace and us fully comprehending God's grace in our life. And we really don't understand how big God's grace is for us. And the more you understand God's grace, the more it sets you free from your past, the more it sets you free from guilt, the more it sets you free saying, God, I'm not worthy. We realize by grace, man, it's all gone. He says he takes our sins, and he takes them from as far as the east as from the west, to the higher than any mountain and deeper than any ocean, man. He just takes them and erases our past. And the more you understand grace and how much we're covered under God's grace, man, he just sets you free. Because we walk around with guilt of things we've done in our past, but grace sets us free. It's a big thing for a Christian to have the basic understanding that we walk under God's grace. It's a huge thing. Because the more I understand God's grace, it doesn't say, all right, I'm under grace, so now I can live how I want to. But it's just the opposite. When I have a true understanding of God's grace, it causes me to want to walk with integrity. God, you forgive me of so much, and I want to please you. God, you've done so much. I want to do things that please you, and I want to grow. And so grace, when you have full understanding, really pushes us to even living a life even deeper, a holiness life, because we understand grace. But it goes beyond that. See, this grace we're talking about here goes beyond just salvation. There is another level of grace that he's wanting us to walk in that I believe many Christians, we don't understand or walk and live in. And today I'm going to give you some examples. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. Look what it says here. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Make what? All what? Grace. Okay, so we got underlined there because she missed that word. All grace abound towards you. That you always having what? All sufficiency in all things. Sufficient what? What are we referencing here? Grace. So if we read it again, it says you'll have sufficient grace in all things. Not just your salvation, but in all things you'll have sufficient grace. That you may have, in just in case we didn't get it, he says again, and you may have an abundance of what? Grace. You may have an abundance of grace for every good work. Now this is really life-changing when you allow this verse to come alive and understand what God's wanting to do in our life. That he's wanting a deeper level of grace, not just for salvation, not just for letting go of our past, but there's a deeper level of grace that he wants to work in every area of our life. Every situation, God's wanting to release a deeper level of grace. It doesn't stop with just salvation. It goes into our life every day. Look what Acts 6:8 says. Stephen, full of what? He was full of grace. What did it say? He was full of power. Same reference here. And Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. I mean, Stephen was full of grace. Listen, God wants you to be full of grace. He wants you to walk in the fullness of his grace for your life. Look what he says in Acts 11. We see where Stephen had been martyred. And so now all the disciples are scattering. They're all in hiding. And they were worried about the gospel being spread. And they get word that it's being spread all the way to Antioch. And so they hear about this revival breaking out in Antioch. People are getting saved and things are happening there. And so the disciples do what they should do. They're all in hiding and they send the new guy. So they said, we'll stay here, but Barnabas, you go check it out. Make sure it's safe. And so they send Barnabas to go check things out. It says the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, look what he says. And when he came, he has seen what? He's seen the grace of God. He's seen the power of God working through grace. And he was glad and he encouraged all of them with that purpose. At the heart, they should continue in the Lord. You see, there's something about grace that God's wanting us to understand. At the core of the word grace, it translates into its original meaning, the word charismata, which was the word charismatic is translated from. As we get the word charismatic, comes from actually the word charismata, which is, comes from the word grace. At the core of that word is grace. And of course, charismatic means the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we know that this is what's happening, that grace, the second level, gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God gives us gifts to accomplish for him what we can never do on our own. God wants to do in us through grace things that we can never do on our own. He says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. And it comes through grace that he graces us, he gives us to us the power to accomplish things we cannot do on our own. I like this definition. It says grace freely granted. We're talking about this different level. We're not talking about forgiveness grace, but this grace power, everyday living. I like this definition. It says grace freely granted, the favor of God. Grace freely granted, the favor of God, that allows God to enable for us that which we could never do for ourselves. One more time, I'll read it. It's granted us the favor of God that allows God to enable for us that which we could never do for ourselves. See, Zero, he was a sharp man, leading 50,000 people. You got to be sharp. He had to lead them across the desert to rebuild the temple. But he couldn't accomplish this task on his own ability. It wasn't happening. He was hitting his head against the wall and nothing was happening. You see, we got to stop. We got to stop trying to see things accomplished that aren't getting anywhere. We keep getting frustrated. We're like, I got this thing, God, you give me to accomplish, and I can't get it done. God, you see this mountain in front of me, and it's not happening. And we butt our head against the wall. You know, we're just continually running that same wall, and we get discouraged. And the reason is we're trying to accomplish it in our own power because it's not going to happen. The mountains are not going to move in your own power. I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have. I don't care about what kind of IQ you have. It doesn't make a difference about that. I don't care how much ability you have, how much resources you have. You can only do certain things through the power of the Holy Spirit working in grace in your life. And so we get frustrated because we're trying to see mountains move, and it's not happening because we're trying to move them in our own might. But he says it's not going to happen in our own ability. These mountains will only be removed when it happens, not by might, by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. See, in this room, there are people who must be saying that, you know, I'm married, Pastor, and my marriage, it seems like as hard as we try, it's just, we're so frustrated, and we're having a hard time making this thing work out, and we want to make it work out, but we keep trying. It seems like it's one thing after another, and I just tell you this, it's not going to happen until you allow grace to flow through your marriage. There's people here who have parents who said, you know, I've raised my kids in church and I've taught them the ways of Scripture, but it seems like they're not serving God and I just can't. I've been trying to talk to them and teach them and beg them and I've cried and I prayed and I've done this and I've done that and nothing's happening for them. And I say, it's not going to happen because you can't make it happen. The only way God's going to change them is when we allow God's Spirit to change them through grace. We got business owners here that you are hitting walls in your business. You've been trying and trying to make things happen. You've been doing the principles according to God's word, and things aren't happening exactly the way you thought they should be happening. Listen, you got to say, I'm speaking grace over my business. I'm speaking grace over my finances, grace over my family. See, God says you will see the difficult things accomplished in your life, not by might, not by power, but by his grace. This is an important thing. He said, hey, Zero, you go to the mountain and say, grace, grace. We just read that story. He says, go to the mountain and say, grace, grace. Now, I just kind of think about the story, and I'm thinking, you know, I can see, you know, Haggai talking to Zero here, and it's like, God told me to go to the mountain and say, grace, grace. And so they walk to this mountain of rubble that used to be a temple, and it's just there. Nothing's happened in 16 years. I can see Zero looking at Haggai. Hey, do you? Haggai's like, say it, grace, grace. He's like, I will when you leave. I just, you know, want to do it in front of you, you know. I'll do it in my prayer closet. I don't want to do this. It's kind of private, you know. He's like, come on, dude. Go to the mountain and say, grace, grace. You know, he didn't tell him to go to the mountain and say, oh, the mountain, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. There's a time for spiritual authority. There's a time to go and bind those things. But he didn't tell him to do that. Isn't it interesting? He didn't tell him to go and bind that mountain, did he? He didn't tell him to go and take spiritual authority to that mountain. He said, walk over that mountain and just declare grace, grace to that mountain. And the mountain will become leveled as a plain. And you'll see God's hand released to do it. See, in our mind, we got to realize that God wants you to face your mountain. And he simply wants you to walk to your mountain and say grace, grace over your mountain. Say, God, I'm releasing your grace I'm releasing a new level of grace that you want for my life. God, I'm releasing a new level of grace that I'm called to walk in. Not just a salvation, but there's a level of grace that he's wanting to release in your biggest difficulties. And your vision is not accomplished. And a thing that God's placed in your heart to get done, and it's not happening, and you keep running into it. Just stop and say, God, I speak grace over my situation. I release your grace. Because you want me to walk in grace, to have sufficient grace in every area of my life. Not only does he want to make it sufficient, he said it'll come in abundance. And see, we're walking in a different level of grace. We're walking at the salvation level, and God's wanting us to grow and mature and say, no, there's a different level. He wants you to walk in grace every day of your life. Where it says, God, it's not going to happen by might. It's not going to happen by power. But God, it's only going to happen by your spirit. God, I speak grace over my business. God, I speak grace over my family. I speak grace over my health. I speak grace over my finances. I speak grace over my children. I speak grace over the vision that you called me to do. I speak grace over the ministry you've entrusted me to lead. What are you speaking grace to? God is wanting you to, a shout of grace to come out of you to your mountain. I'm going to ask our magicians to come this morning. I told you I wasn't going to speak a long time. Some of you fell over because you didn't believe me. We fell for that trick before, Pastor. Today, what is your mountain today of grace that God wants you to speak it over? God's wanting us to walk in such a new level of grace. I just believe in our church that God is wanting us to walk in this new level of grace that we never walked in before. That we just see that, you know what, there's a different level that he's wanting me to live in and to walk in. And it comes when I just simply go to my mountain and say, God, I'm declaring grace over my situation. Because when I declare grace over that, I'm simply admitting that, God, I cannot move this mountain on anything in my own power. I cannot move this mountain on anything in my own ability. But, God, this mountain will only be released by your spirit. And I speak grace, releasing your spirit to move this mountain in my life. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads this morning. First of all, I want to ask the question. I can't talk about grace and simply just ask this question. Are people here today who say, Pastor, you're talking about the first level of grace and about God forgiving me of my sins? I've been waiting a long time to serve God, and I've been trying to get myself cleaned up first. I've been trying to fix things in my life, break addiction. And I've been waiting to give my life to God because I just don't feel like I'm good enough yet. Well, let me tell you today, this is what grace is for. Because you're not good enough and you'll never be good enough. I'm not good enough and I'll never be good enough. This is what's so awesome about grace, is that we come to God just as we are. And he forgives us of our sins and he places us back into the right place that he's designed for us all along in fellowship with him. And I wouldn't embarrass you at all. I want you just to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I'd never prayed that prayer. Or maybe you prayed it a long time ago and you say, Pastor, I haven't lived for God in a long time. And today, I want to come back and I want to renew that commitment to him. Nobody's looking at all, but can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Honesty. Anybody else today want to join these who are raising their hands and say, man, I'm ready to accept Jesus today. I'm ready to walk in that first level of grace you're talking about right now, man. I'm ready just to enter into God's grace and just give him my life. All through the service, I've been feeling God's spirit just move my heart. And today I know that I'm ready to make a decision. One more time, I'm going to ask you, if you have not raised your hand yet, raise it right now. If that's you, you're ready to make a decision. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. And those who raised your hands today, we especially want you to say it with us. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am today. All of my hurt, all of my dreams, I give you everything. I believe you are the Son of God, the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, amen. Now, let me tell you, it's just the beginning of a new journey. And if you don't have a church home, we really need to get a church home. We'd love to have you here. but get plugged in with somewhere. We need people who are going to support you and encourage you in your new decision. Before you leave today, stop by our information booth in the back. We've got a free Bible and some information that tells you what to do next. You need to be around people. It's just the start of a new journey that God has for your life. The rest of us, I'm going to invite us to stand. And how many today say, Pastor, I want to walk in a new level of grace that God has for my life? Anybody here just want to be honest? Pat, that's me, man. I'm ready to walk in a new level of grace. I've been trying to do things by power and might, and today I just submit to God that I want to walk in grace, a new level of grace, releasing His Spirit to remove my mouth. Anybody here want to raise your hand? That's me. Yeah, boy, all over. Yes. We're going to sing a song today. Simple song that we all know, most of us know here at least. It's a song of amazing grace. My chains are gone. And as we sing this song about amazing grace, I want you just to think about the grace that God's given us, not only for salvation, but the grace He's wanting to release in our life. And say, God, today I'm speaking grace, grace to my life.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever. I say.
Your eyes where you're at right now, and I want you just to think about it in your mind and your spirit. Just begin to think about what is that big mountain. As I was talking this morning, you know what I'm talking about. It's different ones. You're facing things that you've been trying to move on your own. You've been trying to see accomplished on your own, and you've been trying in your own power, in your own might, and it seems like you're just not getting anywhere. I want you just to visualize that thing right now in your spirit. Now I want you just to speak right now to that mountain. Just imagine yourself at the edge of that mountain, in front of that obstacle, and I want you just to say this. Say, grace, grace. One more time, just look at it and say, grace, grace. God, right now, we're releasing your grace, Lord, over our mountains. God, we believe that, Lord, you are releasing by your grace, Lord, your spirit, Lord, to move things on our behalf. And God, we pray right now that grace, grace over our marriage. We pray grace, grace over our family, over our finances. We pray grace, grace over our health. We pray grace, grace over the vision that you've given us. We pray grace, grace over the ministry that you've given us, God. We pray grace, grace over Destiny Church, God. The great vision you've given us, God, for the city and the region of the Four State area, God. We know it's not going to happen by might or by power, but God, it's only going to happen by your spirit. And Lord, we stand at the edge of the mountain in faith today, releasing grace in the name of Jesus.
Unending love, amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace, run like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
I'm going to receive that word from the Lord today. Walk in a new level, man. I tell you what, I'm so excited. So I feel like we're unlocking, we're raising the lid of the potential that God's got for our lives when we walk in a deeper level of the grace that He has for our everyday life. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Listen, guys, if you're planning on going to the breakfast, make sure you take time to sign up in the back and let us know you're doing that. God bless you. Have a great week.